Thankful for all the mothers that are here with us this morning. We've had two great services already, and I got the inspiration for that video a couple of months ago. My wife took my little girl, Ava Reese, who's four, to Birmingham to visit some relatives that live there, and I believe it was her sister. And so they left me and B, that's Boston, we call him B, he's my little boy, I think at the time he was two, they left us by ourselves, just me and him, having some guy time for about 2.5 days, and we had fun. But I tell you what, at the end of 2.5 days, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I realized he was still wearing the same clothes his mother left him in. I think he realized I was still wearing the same clothes his mother left me in. You realize very quickly how much you need a mother and need that supply. And that's exactly what a mother is. She is a huge supply in the life of not only her children, but in her household and in all of the people who come into her presence. And so today is Mother's Day, and we want to honor all of our mothers who are here, let you know how much we love you, are thankful for you, appreciate you. And so if you are a mother here this morning, would you stand to your feet all over this place? Yeah, come on, stand to your feet. Let's give them a big thank you with a hand clap. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. I know my father, he passed away when I was 17. And you know, when that type of thing happens, you don't realize how much you grow dependent upon someone. And there are different supplies that I think a father brings into a family, that a mother brings into a family. There are different supplies that different people bring. But I know for me, my father was a supply of faith. If I was to sum up in one word the supply that my father gave me, it was faith. He taught me how to believe God. I saw it in word through the words he said to me. I saw it in precept, the way he lived life. I was telling my wife the other day, I never saw decrease. It was one of the most fascinating things as a child to see your family, my father's professional career as a pastor, just go to the next level each and every year. I mean, constantly things were increasing. And it wasn't because of any particular wisdom that he had or even a natural skill set. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was very talented. But he knew how to believe God. He believed God for it. It was faith that built the church, faith that grew the church, faith that changed my life and that changed our family's life. And so he brought that supply, and when he went home to be with the Lord, it shook me so much to the core. It shook my foundation of faith. I saw how valuable that supply was to me. And for my mother, the supply that I think she gave me and gives me today is several things. For whatever reason, when I think of my mom this week, the main thing that I think about the supply that she gave to me was just growing up, I saw her loyalty to my father, her loyalty to God, her dedication to the Lord, her loyalty to people that she loved. And I'm telling you, there were certain key decisions that she made throughout the years that had she not made those decisions, I don't know what would have happened to our family or what even would have happened to the church. And so I recognize that and I honor that. She was a supply of that to me, and that characteristic and that lifestyle that she lived there, that sowed seeds into my heart, and it's made me a better man, it's made me a better father, it's made me a better person. But mainly when I think of my love just in general, I think of a supply of love. You know, there's a softness, a warmth that comes from a mother that I don't think you can find anywhere else. And I think that that is a godly attribute. I think that our Heavenly Father is such a God of love and such a God of compassion and mercy that He gives and places people in our lives, and even throughout Scriptures, you see types and shadows, like we looked at on Easter, Hosea, as a type and shadow of the love of God that God has for us. Through a natural example, he was trying to teach his children, the children of Israel, how much he loved them through this natural man, Hosea. Well, I think God, when he set up parenthood, you know, he could have set it up where children just came out as adults and had all the knowledge that they needed and all the skill set that they needed, but he didn't do it that way. He set us in homes. God created the family. God created the role of a mother. God created the role of a father. And he sent children who knew nothing. It's almost like a blank slate. And a father and a mother get to write, if you will, on the table of the heart of that child and imprint on that child values, relay to that child virtues, sow seed into that heart. And God's ultimate goal was for the parents to be so close to God that God was able to sow those seeds in their heart. And from that, they reaped a harvest of living a life of love, living a life of faith and compassion and loyalty and virtue and strength and honor, that the children from day one saw that. They saw it in their father. They saw it in their mother. They saw these godly attributes so that later when they left that father's care, when they left that mother's care, all of those seeds that those parents sowed into that child would reap a harvest of that child serving and knowing and valuing the Lord. Basically, God's goal for the parent, for a husband and a wife and a mother and a father, was to show children a relationship with God, a relationship with the Father. And I want to encourage everyone here, not just mothers, not just fathers, but friends, relatives, co-workers, the life that you live and the life that I live doesn't just affect us. The lives that we live affect all of those who are close to us. Each action, each word, good or bad, wrong or right, is seed being sown into the heart of the people who are closest to us. Those seeds, as long as they stay planted in people's hearts, produce a harvest. I'm able to do what I'm able to do today because of the foundation that was laid in me through my parents. My father was able to do what he was able to do because of the foundation his parents laid in him. In the back room, I was thinking about my mamaw, that's what I call her. That was my father's mother. She lives over in Clinton. And Mamaw was a woman who was just tenacious with God, is a woman who is tenacious with God. Her son, my father, he was a drug addict running away from home, but she did everything she knew to do to love him, to be there for him. He'd come home and she'd wash his clothes and, you know, try to help him any way that she could. But she prayed for him. She sowed those seeds of Christianity into his heart. She got a Bible and put his name on it, engraved his name on it, and had it just for him. In the middle of all of that, she still loved him and was there for him. Her and my aunt would take little notes and write them to him. He'd come out of bars and go out to the car, and there'd be a note under the windshield from his aunt saying, God loves you and he's going to turn your life around. And what is that? That's more than just a good thing to do. It was seed sown in his heart. And one day he came home just tired. Sin wears you out. Just tired. His mother took him to a crusade by a preacher. He gave the altar call. My father ran down the aisle and gave his heart to the Lord. Well, see, there never would be a Word of Life church if there wasn't for a praying mamaw. If there wasn't for a mamaw who had sowed those seeds into a man. See, she lives in Clinton. I mean, and she has a life that is good. But the life that we're living today is because of the seed she sowed, the foundation that she laid. She laid it in my father. My father and my mother laid it in me. This didn't happen just because of one generation or a good decision made by me. This is a result of the seeds that were sown in my father and the seeds that were sown in me, compounding to get to where we are at today. See, friends, your life is directly impacting people. God set it up that way. He ordained divine connections. What is divine connections? It is people that He places directly in your life to be a supply to you and for you to be a supply to them. When Jesus picked his disciples, he didn't just open up a little booth and say, if you want to follow me and be with me, then come over here and sign up and we'll call you and we'll... No, he didn't let them pick. He picked them. There were people who were called by God to be divinely connected to him in that season. Then out of the 12, there were three who were closer than they were. Peter, James, and John. He picked them. He picked them to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He knew who was divinely connected to him. He knew the supply that they would bring to him and the supply that he would bring to them. He knew who those connections were. And so oftentimes what I found as a pastor is that the reason why people are living the life that they're living and not achieving the success that they long to achieve, or even the success in their heart they know they can achieve, is not because they're not talented, and it's not because they're not hard workers. They just have never learned to get the right people in their life. They've never learned to value and honor the supplies that God has placed to them. And the supplies that are there maybe haven't recognized that the seeds that I can sow into this person are not just good things to do for them, but it's going to affect my life and theirs for generations to come. Divine connections. Who in your life is divinely connected to you? Do you know who they are? And if you know who they are, do you honor them? Who in your life are you called to be a divine connection to? And what supply are you supposed to give to those people? There's some people that you may just be called to be a supply of fun to them. I know Brother Hagin talked about this for years. There's a man named Doc Horton that was a supply of friendship to him. He knew Doc Horton was his friend. And when you're a man like Brother Hagin, where everyone treats you like, you know, super holy, and you can't laugh or tell a joke or watch a football game with, to have a supply of a friend who would just treat you normal, just have coffee with you, just have breakfast with you, and talk to you like you're normal, was priceless for him. That's why he took him on every trip he ever took. He took Doc and Jerry Horton because they were a supply of friendship to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin knew that, and he honored that. He had people who were praying for him, and they knew they were called to pray for Brother Hagin. And he talks about people like Jeannie Wilkerson and people like Phil and Fern Halverson who were prayers for him. They were called by God. They knew they were called by God to pray for Brother Hagin and yield that supply of prayer. They didn't have close fellowship with him like Doc Horton did, but they knew their role and what they were called to, and they yielded that supply. And Brother Hagin said when they went home to be with the Lord, he could tell a noticeable difference in the power that was in his life. Why? That supply was not there. See, no man is an island to himself. There are people in your life that you're called to be a supply to, and they're called to be a supply to you. And if that supply is not being given and that role is not being fulfilled, your life will take on added pressure that shouldn't be there. There's a grace that comes in when a divine connection comes in your life. There could be no greater divine connection than a mother with her children. Think about that. God placed that child in that womb. Even if people didn't mean to get pregnant, it was God who gave that child, God who gave that gift into that mother's womb. Divinely connected. God has called that child to be and receive from that mother, and for that mother to be a supply to that child. There are things that that child needs to hear that he won't hear and be able to receive it from anyone but that mother. Why? She's a divine connection. There are seeds that only that mother can sow into the heart of that child. Why? It's a divine connection. It's more than just someone trying to play a role. It's God orchestrating a woman to be connected to a child. That child is a blank slate, and that mother comes in and walks the ways of God before that child, sows the seed of faith into the heart of that child, shows seeds of love and mercy and compassion and strength, and those seeds get sown into that child, and then that child takes that, goes out and gets married, and reaps a harvest of all of those seeds by having a godly family, him or herself. Divine connections. Friends, I want to be sensitive to the Lord and exactly what I say today. Because I'm telling you, there are some people in here today, you need to realize who you're connected to. And you need to realize that not only do you need to recognize who is connected to you, but you need to know the enemy will do everything in his power to sever you from your divine connections, to put in bitterness or hurt or resentment or wrong actions, because he knows that person is called by God to be a supply to you. You need that word of encouragement. You need their gifts and talents. You need that type of personality around you to perfect some of the things that God has called you for. Be sensitive to who God has placed in your life and don't allow the enemy to come in there and separate that and to tear you apart from someone God has divinely connected you to. As mothers, what an awesome privilege, an awesome honor to have children entrusted into your care by God the Father. You have the power to speak life. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a scripture that talks about how every joint yields a supply, that God has fitly joined his body together so that every joint can yield a supply. Friends, there are joints that are supposed to be connected to you. Just like my fingers are connected to my hand and not my foot, it's still a part of the body, but it's fitly joined to my hand. My hand is a direct supply to my finger. Why? God designed it that way. And my finger could say, you know what? I don't like my hand. And I think I should be on the foot. I feel a foot calling. And he could go over there and try to get a supply from the foot, but it'd be nothing like the supply that God ordained for it, connected to the hand. See, it's divinely connected, divinely put in place. God's placed people in your life and in mine because it's his divine purpose. There's a supply there they're supposed to be giving you. And for a mother, when that child is in our care, there's a supply that's to come from us to them, a supply that no one else can give them. I read a report. This is interesting when I was studying for Mother's Day. Years and years ago out there in Africa, they have big game reserves where a whole bunch of animals roam free. I mean, huge game reserves, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of animals. And they had an overpopulation of elephants. Just a huge population of elephants that was booming on the reserve. And so they had to get rid of some of the elephants and put them into another part of Africa on a different reserve. So they selected 300 young elephants and took them off the reserve because they were naturally more fertile and more active in that regards. And so they left the older elephants there, took the younger elephants, just the baby elephants and the adolescent elephants, and took them over to the reserve, a different reserve. And it was over 300 some odd elephants that they did that to. Now, elephants are normally very passive by nature. They're not aggressive creatures at all. And so they put them over there in this one reserve with a whole bunch of rhinos. Now, a rhino has no natural enemy. You don't ever see on the Discovery Channel lions attacking rhinos. Rhinos are tough creatures. They are mean, and they are there stationary. I mean, they're very hard to attack. So it has no natural predators. But they started noticing that there were dead rhinos found all around the reserve. They were trying to figure out what's happening. And they set up cameras to film, because, you know, you're talking thousands and thousands, really millions of acres of land to watch. They set up cameras in different spots where the rhinos typically congregated. And they noticed late at night, young groups of elephants would come out there and attack rhinos and kill them. And they said the reason why this happened was because, they realized later, they took them away from their parental influences. And those parental influences couldn't sow, if you will, the seeds in their heart of how an elephant should act. And the elephant acted any way it wanted to, because it didn't have that parental influence in their life. That's the exact way God is with babies. He sends us babies, like I said, as a blank slate, children as a blank slate, with the goal of the parents teaching it the ways of the Lord, teaching it those values and principles, establishing in it God's way. And from that, it can live a fruitful life like a Christian should live. But see, if no seeds or wrong seeds are sown into that child's heart, it's almost going to be destined to reap a harvest of pain and hurt and torture. Not because the kid is a bad kid, but because of the seed that's been sown in it. Friends, I want to encourage everyone here. Value the relationships that are in your life. And sow as many seeds as possible into them so those seeds can produce a harvest, a victory in their life. What does a good mother do? What does a good father do? There's any type of job descriptions that people could label motherhood as a mother should look this way, drive a minivan, go to soccer practice, take the girls to ballet and dance. There's any different types of roles the world would try to throw over on a mother and say, this is the way you should act, dress, and walk, and look. But let me help you this morning. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. If there was a perfect mother, then Jesus never would have had to die on a cross because there would be someone without original sin. No, the reason why Jesus came is because there was no one perfect and no one could reach that mark. He was the only perfect one, and he died on the cross because we were imperfect and would need mercy. And so you may be out there feeling like, man, I have such regrets over the way I raised my kids, or I have such regrets over, I wish I could have done that differently or said that differently. Friends, leave that alone. God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. Receive it. Over in the Old Testament, there's a very interesting story about two prostitutes. Obviously, these were women who were not exactly the best fit for motherhood. But two prostitutes who both got pregnant. One had a baby and the other one had a baby 3 days later, and they lived in the same household. Well, here they are, these women, and one night a woman rolls over and without realizing it, she suffocates her child. Now, her child was in the same age bracket as the other child, like I said, born just 3 days earlier. So the mother panicked and had this idea that she would switch the babies. So she went over to the other lady, took her living baby, and replaced that baby with the other baby that she had suffocated. Well, the other mother woke up and immediately panicked because she saw this dead baby there, but she also knew, that's not my baby. And she looks over and sees the other woman holding her baby. Can you imagine the emotions that would happen? So she says, give me your baby back. Give me my baby back. I guess someone made a commercial off that, right? But anyway, she says, give me my baby back. And she says that. And you see the other woman say, that's not your baby. This is my baby. You killed your baby last night. And she knows she's lying. Well, finally, they find themselves in Solomon's court. Now, this is interesting. How did these two women out of all this nation find themselves in Solomon's court? They're imperfect. They have wrongs. They were prostitutes, but they found themselves standing in the court of a king. Friends, that's exactly how God is with us. All of us have committed sin. All of us have things that we wish we could change about ourselves or things we could change about our past. But we are made worthy by righteousness to still approach the king and receive mercy and forgiveness. Solomon knows how to answer this, and he says, this is what we're going to do. He says, bring me the living baby and bring me a sword. And he knows that he's not going to kill the baby, but he's going to act like he's going to cut it in two and divide it between the two mothers. And when he steps up to do that, one of the mothers speaks up, the real mother, and screams, don't do it. Don't do it. Let the other woman have the baby. He said immediately, you're the right mother. Gave her over the baby. What happened in that moment? What happened there? You see motherhood. You see her respond from her heart. She wasn't thinking about her wrongs, but she knew the love she had for that child. And she would have sacrificed herself for that child. She would have sacrificed her joy for that baby to have life. And that's what motherhood is all about. It's not about being perfect or fitting up to the world's standards. It's you responding out of your heart to the needs of your children. It's you being led in your heart on what to do and how to raise them. It's you responding with the Spirit-led life in your home. We see an example of this in 2 Kings. You can open up your Bibles there. 2 Kings chapter 4. We see an example of a woman who lived this way. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we see in verse 8 that this woman is a special woman. In fact, the Bible uses a very particular word to describe her. And watch how the Bible describes this woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman." Now notice this Bible calls this woman great. So we're about to see a great woman here. We're about to see what a great woman does and how a great woman lives. Now notice this, there was a great woman and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually." Notice this phrase here, "Behold, now I perceive." There's something in her heart telling her, this is a man of God. You keep reading here, you see in her heart, she feels like that not only do they need to feed this man every once in a while, but they need to build a little chamber on their house. They need to construct a room for him. She senses in her heart that they're not just supposed to feed him every now and then, but he's supposed to, every time he passes by with us, not only eat with us, but stay with us. She senses in her heart she needs to do something, and then she does it. Friends, this is not only a great woman, but this is a way to live a great life. This is a way to be a great mother, a great father, even a great businessman. Something in your heart checks you. Catches you. You need to do this. And then you do it. And it leads to being great. What do I mean by that? It's something as simple as you're riding in the car, listening to music, and the Lord checks your heart and you perceive, I don't need to be listening to this. And so you change it over to a different station. Little did you know your child is in the back seat and every word they hear from that radio is seed that's going into their heart. It's going to teach them how to walk with people and how to think of boys and how to think of women. And that seed was being sown in them. But when you change that station over, all of a sudden, seeds of God started being sown into their heart. What is that? That's being a great mom. You have that perception and you make that change. It's at the house you know we need to change some things around here. Our kids are watching us. We don't need to argue in front of them. You perceive that in your heart, but what makes you great is not only do you perceive it, you do it, you act on it, you make the change. You notice, I shouldn't have said that to the kids, man. I just got frustrated. I know I shouldn't have said that. And you perceive in your heart, you need to go to them and apologize. That's more than just you're doing it and doing that. It's seed being sown into their heart of love. It's seed being sown into their heart that mommy's ready to recognize that she may need to say that. It's seed. Going to church, it's seed. Speaking right words about relatives, talking about people in a positive way. It's more than just words, it's seed. And a great woman, a great mother, she is who God made her to be. God designed you to be sensitive. God designed you to be compassionate. God put that in you. I told Second Service a story. When we were building the church, we were right at completion. And we were getting ready to, the last thing they do is stain the concrete floors out there in the foyer. And so we're out there and they just got done staining this particular part of the floor. And so we're out there, and I'm standing over in the bookstore area, and they were standing over there by the entryway, the main overhang. And I hear a child scream, and immediately I knew exactly who it was. It was my nephew. I just could tell by his voice. I was standing a ways away, but I could tell. I didn't see him. I just knew that's my nephew. And I looked over, and he's got his arm stuck in between, you know, the doors there. You pop them to open them. Well, he's got his arm stuck in that little rail there, and he can't get it out. And so he's screaming. And so I hear it and immediately know it's him. But I not only hear it, his mother hears it, my sister-in-law. And she hears it, and she doesn't see him either, but she knows exactly who it is. That's her boy. And so without even thinking, she takes off running. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Takes off running. I mean, like a cheetah chasing a gazelle. Takes off running across the foyer. And she gets up to this place here that's lined off because it's wet. The concrete's wet. It's stained. And she miraculously gathers up enough speed. She hurdles the line, completely misses where the stain was, didn't mess it up at all, runs over there, rips out his arm. It had to hurt ripping out the arm more than actually being stuck, and holds him in his arms. Her baby is safe again. What is that? That's motherhood. The whole time I was thinking is he got it in, he can get it out. If he got it in there, he can get it out. What's that? That's fatherhood. That's teaching them toughness. But motherhood's completely different. See, a man thinks differently than a woman. God arranged it that way. Being sensitive. Sensitive. God made you that way. He wired you that way. To be moved with compassion towards your children. Moves with compassion to them. Friends, can I tell you something honestly? This generation today, it is love starved. I mean, it is love starved. You take the most hardened criminal. I know I've gone and ministered in prisons. You take the most hardened criminal and you show them love, immediately they open up. Immediately. Why? They're love starved. This generation is love starved. God set in motion a mother to show that kind of love. So thankful for all the mothers we have here at Word of Life who know how to give it. Because, man, this generation needs it. Needs those seeds of love. So this morning, I want to encourage you. You can be a great woman. You can be a great mother. Well, I just wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Friend, don't beat yourself up. Get mercy. Get forgiveness. The only thing this woman did that I can see from Scripture that led to the blessing she experienced in life, and you can keep reading here and see, this is a woman of God. I mean, she is flat tenacious with faith. She's not moved by anything. It is a woman of God. And the way she got there was she perceived to do things in her heart, and she did them. She did them. Mothers are priceless. They are the shapers of a household, shapers of children, makers of generations. And the gifts that mothers have given us and the sacrifices that they've made, we honor that today. We say thank you, not only for the love you will show, but for the love you have shown, for the sacrifice that you've given. I'll close with this final story as I was researching all of this. I came across a story about a woman many years ago who was a great woman. But honestly, even the more that I think about it, I don't know of too many people who wouldn't do the same thing, who really are moved with the same type of love and compassion, true parenthood. This woman, she was a Jewish lady, and her husband had two kids. Two boys, one was a little bit older, the other one was younger. And the younger boy was always very frail, just sickly. And World War II came, which also with that came the Holocaust, where Nazi Germany carried away tons and tons of people and put them in concentration camps. And these people one day got captured by the Nazis and put in a concentration camp. And they told them, as long as you can work, you'll live. If you can't work for us, we're going to take you away. And what they meant by taking them away was taking them to a gas chamber and murdering them. Well, a couple of days later, not only did this family get captured, but this man's father and mother, who were elderly, got captured as well. They put them to work, and they couldn't work the demands of what they were being demanded of. And so because they were Jewish, they were marched over into a gas chamber. And on that day, that father, that son lost his father and mother. Well, this father's greatest concern was for his child. See, they didn't spare even children. You couldn't work. they take you away, period. His concern was for his youngest boy because he was sickly, weak. His concern was that one day he'd come home and come back into that camp and that boy wouldn't be there. See, they break you up by ages and gender. And so he'd go work in another part where the kids worked in another part and the women worked at another part. And he came home every day hoping he'd come back into that place with his family still there and still alive. Well, one day he walked back into the camp and his biggest fear was there. He saw his boy, his older one, over in a corner crying profusely. And he asked him, what happened? He knew what did. He told him, he said, they got him. They got him. The father just started weeping. You can imagine. He said, well, where's your mother? He said, that's just it, Daddy. When they came to get him, he was so afraid. He was crying so loud that Mama heard it. And she ran over to where he was. She whispered something in that guard's ear, and he let her go to the boy. She picked up the boy, held him in her arms, and told him, you don't have to be afraid. Mommy's here. Mommy's going to go with you. And she took that boy in her arms and entered into that gas chamber with him. She sacrificed her life to ease his fear, just to comfort him. He was going to die either way, but she died just to give him a couple of more seconds of comfort. What is that? That's love. That's love. And the greatest type of love is not just giving, it's sacrificial giving. It's giving when it costs you something, but you do it anyway because you love them. And there are mothers all across this world today in this city who are those types of mothers. They haven't laid down their life naturally, but they've laid it down every other way. They've given food to their children when they didn't have any themselves. Bought clothes for their children when they didn't have clothes themselves. Worked two extra jobs for those children just because they loved them and wanted to take care of them. What is that? That's love. It's not just giving, it's sacrificial giving. This is why the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother. The word honor means to value. What you value, you take care of. What you value, you hold in high regard. What you value is precious to you, so you don't treat it just any way you want to. When we honor our father and mother, that's not just talking good of them. That's honoring them and valuing them. That's being a supply to them because they were a supply to us. That's why we have a day called Mother's Day, a day set aside just for moms to know that no matter where you are, where you've been, we honor the sacrifices that you have made for us. We tell you we love you, we honor you, and we are grateful for you. We love you, moms. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience today. You really have. And I'm so grateful for everyone here.